Hello and welcome to My Abnormal Life Podcast, Episode 2. In this episode, I'll be guiding you through my journey with fitness, how it has influenced my life, and provide some insight with how you can use it to influence your life as well. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to My Abnormal Life, as told by me, as heard by you. This is Brock Baldwin, and man, am I excited to continue digging deeper into myself and bringing you guys some more value and some more content. In this episode, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into my roots as a personal trainer and give you guys some insight behind my fitness journey, the things that I've learned, mistakes that I've made, lessons that have really kind of shaped me into who I am now, and some trials that I went through, things that I struggled with. But before I dive too deep into that, I want to give a little bit of a backstory behind that. As I came out of high school, dropped out of high school, I guess I should say, and finished my GED, I floated around for a while, didn't really know what I wanted to do. As most angsty teenagers, I'm sure you can imagine, in our adolescence have no idea, or you do have an idea of somewhat of what you want to do, but being 16, 17, 18 years old, about to graduate, and you're posturing to move out into the workforce, how really well do you know yourself? You know, there's so much pressure from society and your parents and your grandparents, and it's this idea of having to know exactly what you want to delve into by the time you're 16 years old is utterly ridiculous, in my opinion. And I feel you should taste things, you should get a grasp of working somewhere and having those experiences, and then move on, move to a different job, figure out if you like that, if you stay there for a long time, awesome. If you don't, awesome. Life is too long and too short to have a shitty boss telling you what to do, when to do it, and feeling downtrodden on yourself. And there's a lot of differences between a boss as an influencer and a boss as just being a boss. And in a lot of respects, I believe the adage that people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses, in a lot of ways is very, very true. Not to get too far off track, but I went through that. I jumped around from job to job, being fast food and not really enjoying that, and moved on from there to little sales jobs, whether it was at JCPenney selling men's clothing and folding men's clothing and going into the dressing rooms and retrieving said men's clothing. I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. And after finishing my GED, I'd come to a point where after conversations with my parents, I in a lot of ways wanted to move back to Canada. I was confused. I had no direction. I had some really good mentors at my high school that kind of guided me towards making the decision to get my GED, and I'm still grateful for those mentors that I did meet back then. But I just didn't have the insight or the direction or really know who I was. I was still trying to kind of claim my identity in the world. And I really wanted to claim my identity, but like I said, I just didn't really know who I was. Coming off the entails of a messy relationship in high school, I didn't know where to place my emotions. I didn't know where to place my earnesty. I didn't really know what to do myself, to be completely honest with you. But moving forward, I decided that I was going to go to college. I was going to get my generals, and I was going to work here, work there, whatever, taste stuff, and figure out what I liked for sure, right? Like any angsty teenager would be in my adolescence. I'm going to do this, and this is how I'm going to do it, and nobody's going to tell me any different on how I'm going to do it. That was a powerful moment for me. Went to college and I lasted maybe a semester, and then I dropped out going for my generals. I'd show up to some classes I would, some classes I wouldn't. And if you can relate, fellow college dropouts out there, it's, in my opinion, a broken system. I mean, we're lending money that we don't have to students that also can't afford to go to the school, which is why we're lending the money that we don't already have for jobs that, in all reality, don't end up existing when you finish your degree. And that's frustrating to say that we live in a society that pushes you need this job to make this amount of money down your throat, and it's a lot of pressure to live up to. And having that pressure from your parents, from your friends, from your grandparents and their grandparents and everybody, it's easy to feel enclosed. Like you're being forced to do something that you really don't want to do, and it's such a scary thought that there's so many people out there doing jobs that they never wanted to end up doing, and they feel like their circumstances create them, and that is their only option, the only way, and it really isn't and never was. And if I can get you to take a step back or a couple of step backs and to think, is this really what I want to end up doing for the rest of my life? Is this my passion? Do I love it? Do I like going to work on Mondays? Do I dread Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then start posturing for the weekend on Thursday and Friday, and that's when I become excited at? Not to steal too many notes out of Gary Vaynerchuk's book here, but if you love the weekends and hate your Monday through Thursday, your shit is broken. And I believe that in a lot of ways. Then there is a way to fix it. There's many ways to fix it, and one of those is self-awareness. And through my own self-awareness, after dropping out of college, also after dropping out of high school, a friend of mine gave me a few swift kicks in the ass and decided to bring me to the gym with him a couple of times. And it was like pulling teeth the first 2 or 3 weeks. And I would never go on my own, didn't want to get a membership. He would sneak me in type of thing, and I'd follow his gauntlet. And we'd add a couple of exercises here and there, and then we'd go to the machines, do those, and then we'd run on the treadmills, and then we'd go home, eat pizza rolls with about a half a gallon of ranch on the plate, or eat spaghetti. And all of this after him working a long shift of delivering pizzas at Domino's at 1 or 2 in the morning. Shout out to you, Austin. And it was an awesome time. There was a lot of lessons during it. We both kind of started coming into our own and our own identities and figuring out who we were. And I didn't have a lot of jobs during that time. I'd lived with my dad, and I started getting really depressed because I didn't know who I was and what identity to really draw of myself. And because of that pressure, I kind of lost myself, and a dark cloud kind of surrounded me, and the anxiety started creeping in, and I started relying on drugs, alcohol, and sex, and you name it, I did it back then. But one thing that really changed the way that I felt about the world around me and myself is fitness and going to the gym. And in those moments of pulling teeth and getting me to go to the gym, Austin took me under his wing, and I started learning, and I taught myself. And And I started to have a grasp of what my identity was. And it wasn't necessarily, just for the aesthetic appeal or the sex appeal or feeling confident to talk to women. It was just feeling like I had a place in the world, that I had some power and some discipline and motivation to accomplish something, feel like I'm a part of something, whether it be with myself or with my friends, or to be a cohort to somebody. And that felt really good. And I started going more often and started seeing consistent results. And if you ever need a kick in the head, it's all you need to tell yourself is, I know what the opposite is. And in my times, it's not even necessarily motivation, it's the discipline to take a look back at where you were and knowing what the opposite is. And that's all I know. That's all I need. That's all I know to give myself a kick in the ass and to keep going, because it's worth it and you are worth it. And it is a process. It's not going to be easy. And that's something that's kind of become my mantra now. And as I progressed and got a little bit more knowledgeable, I decided, hey, how can I influence others and do what I love at the same time as growing as a person, finding my identity? So I went on to the internet and I'd seen some personal trainers around the gym that I started going to at Anytime Fitness with some buddies and Austin, and we'll get into some stories about that time in a couple of episodes here. We'll sit down with Austin and we'll go back and forth bantering, and it'll be a fun time. But not getting too far ahead of myself, I went on to Google and I started, figuring out, how can I get certified to be a personal trainer? What do I need to do? And lo and behold, I found the International Sports Sciences Association's website, and I started doing research on the cost and what the tests and exams entailed. And I started comparing them with other accredited long distance studying online courses, because there really wasn't, you know how I am with being a student. I didn't want to go back to school for exercise science or physical therapy or whatever the case may be. Not to say that I wanted a shortcut necessarily, but I was never good in the social interaction of school and the pressures that society press on curriculum in school, and being, like a mechanism that you need to learn at the same pace as everybody and shove everybody into kind of a pigeonhole. I was never good at that, and I never believed in that, and I still don't. But anyhow, I found the International Sports Sciences Association, compared them to the National Academy of Sports Medicine and a couple of other smaller ones, and after reading through their story and how long they'd been an accredited long distance school of studying, I talked to my dad and my mom and said, "Hey, I think I found something here. I feel really, really good about training people and learning how the body works and how the human body moves, how I can teach other people to feel better about themselves, find their own identity, whether they've lost it throughout their life and being older, or they've just gotten out of shape and they wanted to find that energy again to run around with their kids, or they're an athlete wanting to perform at their top level. Whatever the case was, I wanted to help and I wanted to bring my influence and to positively affect any client that came across." And I did everything in my power to positively affect any client that was assigned to me or I found and prospected, and I got certified, and it was awesome. I started studying, and I finished I stayed up late for that. I stayed up until 3, 4 in the freaking morning studying. And I would take these exams and do the case studies. And I took it so seriously. It honestly takes. I was taken aback by it because if I had known that, how attached I got to studying on my own and the pace that I took, I would have explored more of online studies or homeschooling, but not to get too much into regretful or wishful thinking here. It was awesome to achieve that and be certified and have that mailed to me all within, what was it? I think I finished it in 2.5 months, and it was mailed within the next month of, the processing and the shipping. So I get this certification, and I'm on my high horse. I'm so proud of myself. My parents are so hopeful of me, and I'm so hopeful of me, and here goes nothing type of thing, right? So I start looking in the area for jobs of anybody looking for a personal trainer, and I had taken a couple of people under my wing, not as trying to monetize myself or make any money of it, but it had started to grow into a passion of mine. And people started seeing that, and I think they were drawn to that. And it was awesome that people started looking up to me, and how that influenced them and how we influenced each other. And I'm grateful for any of you out there that are listening that I've ever trained or helped find your identity again, or I helped find your strength or your passion, or through anything that I've done, I've taken you under my wing, and you've figured things out and gone off on your own and been able to fly on your own, so to speak. That's awesome, and I express my gratitude for that. Being able to help and influence a human being to change their stars in any way of the sorts is awesome to me. And I take a lot of passion from that. And moving further into working as a personal trainer, it's very, very rewarding to take on a client from time of consultation and asking them what they hope to accomplish and delving into what their hopes and dreams are for their fitness journey. But I asked the harder questions of, not just what you want to achieve, as far as outward of looks or appeal goes, but I'm like, why are you here? Why did you There's a reason behind why you're wanting to take the next step forward and get your ass in gear and make a change, make a true change and a sustainable and long-lasting change. And when I asked that question in consultations, people would kind of look at me, sit there for, it was a good 5, 10 seconds, whoever spoke first lost type of thing, and I'd get some interesting responses. The stories would start flowing, and a lot of people had lost their way along the years, or an athlete had wanted to perform a little bit better, and by the end of our time together, they'd ended up achieving their goal, or I'd given them the resources to achieve that goal on their own. And it's awesome to look back over some of the clients that I've worked with over the years, and knowing and hoping that they've continued down their journey and their path. And running into some of them, and while I'm grocery shopping and seeing some of the things in their cart that are healthy and unhealthy, and seeing that they have, the knowledge and the balance to be able to sustain that lifestyle and not drift back into the not knowing what direction they're going or how. But as I moved into my career and got more experienced, I decided to take more certifications under my belt because I wanted to take it to the next level. I eventually wanted to have my own gym. That became one of my goals, and still to this day, I have aspirations of having some sort of like a garage private gym that I can open to the public, but that's a story for down the road. I started doing some more research and I wanted more knowledge, and I found that the International Sports Science Association offered a couple other specialty certifications. And the first one that interested me most was fitness nutrition. Because at that point, both in my training career and my lifting and bodybuilding career, I had an inkling of what I was doing as far as my nutrition and food portioning goes, but I didn't really know how the body was fueled and the energy pathways and how they worked and how your body broke down food and processed that into energy. And I wanted more knowledge of that so I could obviously convert that into a lesson for my clients and for myself, so I'd have a better understanding. But to have my own sustainability throughout life, and it's the old story of practice what you preach and do as I say, not as I do. And I didn't want to be that trainer that my clients looked at, and I'd take them through a session, and then after my session, they'd see me 10 minutes later going through the McDonald's drive-thru to get a McGriddle type of thing. And going through the knowledge that I did get from being certified and getting those specialty certifications, whether it was the fitness nutrition or the exercise therapy or the senior fitness, through all of that knowledge. And that basis of the foundation of what became my personal training knowledge empire or encyclopedia. I got pretty dang good at the stuff. And after working with so many clients at my first training job at Anytime Fitness in Bismarck, North Dakota, I worked there for about a year, and I decided that I was going to go to the International Sports Science Association started offering an online course that was an associate's in exercise science. And I went back and forth in my head about this for a long time, and I actually moved back to Canada after leaving that job at Anytime Fitness, as I went through some rough times, and I needed to find myself again. So I ended up moving back to Canada, and I was looking for a job as a trainer, and I met with one of the fitness managers, and this moment will probably haunt me for the rest of my life. But I'm sitting in this interview, and I had the knowledge, but after asking me a couple of practical questions, I just didn't have an answer to the questions that he asked me. And it was a humbling moment after that interview for him to tell me that, I think you would make a great personal trainer, but just you need to hit the books a little bit more, get your practicals down, and maybe we'd be able to bring you on board here because I've got people trainers here with bachelor's in kinesiology, and I don't think you'd fit the dynamic here. And that was something that I took to heart, and it was humbling. And after that moment, I'm like, man, I need to beef up my credentials here. This is someone's telling me that I'm not ready, and I felt so ready. And I wasn't as well versed in the practicals as I wanted to be, but the questions that he was asking me, I knew the answers to, but I was so nervous in the moment, I didn't have an answer for him. And after that interview, I started doubting myself. I started questioning my ability as a trainer. I didn't know if I was ever going to train again. I didn't want to train again. There was actually a period of time where that was actually close to when I had my wisdom teeth removed that I didn't go to the gym for damn near 2 weeks. Well, partially because I was forced not to go to the gym for 2 weeks, but I couldn't go to the gym. I had a After my wisdom teeth were removed, I had complications from the surgery. I had a puncture in my nasal cavity that I couldn't breathe properly, so I was forced to stay home for 2 weeks. And I hadn't missed more, you guys, more than maybe 4 or 5 days at the gym. And at that point, I think it was 3 or 4 years that I had been lifting. And to miss 2 weeks at that time, I was going nuts. I thought I was withering away. I thought all my muscle was going to leave. People were going to hate me. I'm going to start hating myself. It's amazing what your mind can do to itself. In moments of despair and tragedy. And man, when I had my wisdom teeth removed, I thought my world was ending. And that was that. But I made it through it. And after the 2 weeks of playing lots and lots of Call of Duty and talking with my friends over PlayStation to the United States, I recovered and I started going back to the gym. After recovering from my surgery and purging myself of any doubt that I had in my mind, I decided that, you know what? Frig that guy. I'm going to go and get my associate's in exercise science, and I'm going to be the best personal trainer in the world. I'm going to be the best in the world at what I do, and I'm going to die trying. And that was my outlook, guys. That lit a bonfire under my ass. I was ready to divide and conquer. And that's exactly what I did. I made the decision to move back home to Bismarck, North Dakota, and pack up all my stuff, bring my golden doodle Darty back down to the United States after moving him back up to Canada with me. I drove back, and after I think it was 7 or 8 months that I lived up in Canada, I moved back, and my friends were happy to see me. And I did a little bit more floating before starting school, but I started school, and I was focused on it. I was honed in. I had laser vision. I was ready to do this. And I passed a lot of my classes and kept moving forward with it. And as the, let's see, one semester went by and I started getting tied up with going to with parties and partying a little bit more than I should have, and I started drinking and at that point, it was more recreational fun than anything, but I started getting involved with drugs and taking ecstasy, and I started to really analyze myself and, Brock, are you really trying to live a lifestyle that you can be proud of and your friends and your family can be proud of if you're going to the gym and you're bettering yourself? Is it not contradicting to, after going to the gym, go to parties, drink until you can't comprehend who you are anymore, and then lather, rinse, repeat, and do the same thing every other day or every day or every preceding following day? It didn't make much sense, and it probably doesn't sound like much sense to you guys either. And it was a rough time. I don't know who I was trying to be, who I was trying to impress. Obviously, the wrong people that do not matter at this point. And if that can be a message to anybody out there, if you are trying to please anybody but yourself or trying to pander to the opinion of, your peers or the people that peaked in high school, and after you get out of high school, you see them at at a gathering at a bar and they're taking shots and they invite you over and say, "Hey, let's take some shots." And it becomes this, I don't know, this internal challenge to become the alpha. And to me, being an alpha wouldn't be being out and drinking and becoming brain dead from alcohol poisoning. It would be staying home and posturing to build a business or your career or speaking your truth on a podcast or going to the gym and bettering yourself or becoming something other than I don't know what word to use for other than just plain stupid. It's I feel so very sorry for a lot of my peers that just never grew out of that. And there's a difference between enjoying yourself every here often and going out and having a couple of drinks and tossing them back and laxing up with the boys. Going out every single night and getting brain dead wasted is a completely different story. And some of them have kids now, and it's just I don't understand, man. It just does not make sense to me. I try to wrap my head around it, but whole nother frustration that we're getting into here. Back to concentration. Fitness as a whole has really, in a lot of ways, saved my life. It's been a sanctuary, something that I've been able to place a lot of my frustration and anger and confusion. And it's been something that I know that I've been able to use as a place that I can confide my fear and doubt. And not to say that it will fix and has fixed everything. There's going to be challenges in your life. But if through my story that I can influence anybody out there to start bettering themselves, whether it even doesn't even have to be fitness, it just start seeking your truth. What sets you on fire? What do you want to do for the rest of your life? Not what your parents want you to do, your girlfriend wants you to do, your spouse wants you to do. What lights you on fire, man? What makes you light up in your eyes when you talk about it? And to see the people that know what they want to do, and when I hear somebody tell me their passions and you see that look in their eye, it's you resonate with that when you know somebody's truth and you too know your truth. And is it not more satisfying to be able to say that you're speaking your truth and not somebody else's truth? And I'm going to repeat that because I think that's a good little content grabber there. And is it not true and more satisfying to be able to say that you are speaking your truth and not somebody else's truth? And today I'd like to challenge you to really think about that. Are you speaking your truth? Are you Monday through Friday, enjoying what you're doing? Or are you complaining about what you're doing? Are you feeling downtrodden and run down and exhausted because of how many times you've run through your mind anxious about whether it's what you want to do for the rest of your life or how am I going to make money? Or, man, life's too short and too long, folks. And it's hard. But there is resources and guidance out there. And if I can use this podcast as a platform to create that value for anybody to confide in, or if you need to DM me on Instagram or find me on Facebook, my name's Brock Baldwin. Message me, find me, DM me. If you live in the Grand Forks greater area, come and find me at the gym at the Choice Health and Fitness Center. I want to help. I want to do what I can to influence and aspire to to become a positivity mentor for you. It's I know what the opposite is, and with this podcast, that has been the biggest message that I would like to, for you to take away from this is know what the opposite is of speaking your truth, of feeling great, feeling energetic, feeling like you love yourself. Know what the opposite is and think how that could affect you for the rest of your life, or think how it affects your friends and those who want to spend time with you. And audit who you spend your time with. If you've got three, four, five friends complaining to you day in and day out about their job, what they're doing, what they're not doing, it's time to start spending some less time with those friends. If they're dragging you to the bars and upset with you because you won't go to the bars with them because you want to start bettering yourself, take some steps back. It doesn't mean that you have to eliminate them from your life and you can't pray for them, but it is not worth flushing yourself down the toilet with friends that will drag you down and feeling so incomplete and complacent and stuck and reverberating your circumstances and becoming your anxiety. It's not worth it, folks. It's just not. And if I can be the voice of reason of you taking precedence for your life and paying yourself due diligence, then let it be the moment. Say, I'm done. I'm done with complaining. It's time for me to take action. And that's what fitness has done for me throughout the past 7 years from Austin taking me to the gym and creating the discipline that I now have, the paths that I've taken throughout my life. My routine has shifted and changed, and my relationship with fitness has changed. And I at one time did want to become a physique competitor, but there's one consistent that will never change, and that is that fitness really drew me to my identity, and it brought me, at least began to shape who I was. And it challenged me. It really put me in a place where it was put up or shut up. And a lot of times I shut up, but a lot of times I put up too. And if there's something that you're passionate about and you're in a moment now of shutting up about it, maybe it's time to speak up. Maybe it's time to scream. Maybe it's time to whisper a little bit. If you're passionate about something and it is your truth and you are good at it, it doesn't matter if you yell or if you whisper. If you're good at it, it's going to become something that it's going to become something monstrous that you're going to be able to do for the rest of your life. And I'd like for you guys to take away from this that there's so much more out there for you than complaining, than feeling out of place and feeling unhappy. And if you are happy, that's awesome. I'm grateful for you. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this and listen to my story and my insights and things that I've gone through. But that message is for anybody who doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like they, necessarily know their identity and aren't, they don't know what to place their direction in, and they don't have a direction. And before getting too long with this podcast, guys, I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed the content throughout this podcast, subscribe, follow. My Instagram handle is brock.jb. I'd love a message. It'd be awesome to hear your guys' insight on how this podcast affected you and how the previous podcast also affects you. But I'm going to get going now, guys. I'll be recording with some guests over the next coming weeks. I'm pretty excited about that, to share our stories and banter a little bit on here. It'll be a fun experience. I do enjoy recording on here. But let me know what you thought of the podcast, and take care.